welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Morehead. Laura, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We have a lot to talk about with the regular city council meeting that happened earlier this week. But first, I wanted to touch base with you, as we have for many of the monthly meetings that you and I have. We want to talk about COVID just to get started. Numbers in the county have been going up pretty consistently. It's been a while since we've had a day that was in single digits. Mostly we're having numbers in the teens right now of new cases each and every day. And that really impacts our community in a lot of different ways. But at the same time, we are having vaccines roll in periodically through St. Clair, and some people in our community are getting immunized at this point. Tell us a little bit about what the newest information is that's available on immunizations.
I actually just got off a call with the governor. He is doing bi-weekly calls with the mayors and judge executives giving updates. Today, our update was on vaccine deployment. They did report that the pace is picking up for the delivery of those immunizations, so that's always a good thing to hear. We know that the need is more than the doses that the state has been provided at this time, but we're hoping that that will gradually increase as we move forward. They are still using a priority list. It has three different tiers as far as how to give out all of these vaccines. So your healthcare workers and first responders are kind of that initial group. And then you move into vulnerable populations, as well as essential workers, people over the age of 60, and teachers as well. And so those groups are hopefully all to be vaccinated as we get into February. And the state has issued some guidance that 90% of doses need to be used within 7 days. So if all of the healthcare workers in Round County have received theirs, then the community can move to the second tier to make sure that all vaccines are utilized. So the process is picking up. We hope that we continue to see more vaccines given to Round County and Morehead specifically. The health department in St. Clair are able to request a number of vaccines each week. So hopefully we will be granted that request and start vaccinating as many as possible in the community.
I know I got an email from St. Clair that said, you know, doses are available if you meet certain criteria, you know, fill out your information here. And it was like, well, I don't meet those criteria. You know, I'm not a medical worker or a first responder. So I'm always interested in to know who among the community is being vaccinated, because I know I'm way down the list, which is fine with me. I want the most vulnerable and the people who are doing medical interventions to be able to be protected first. I am interested in knowing when the educators are going to be able to get vaccinated, since we started back to in-person learning this week in the Round County School District.
The last update that we received specifically on educators was that the target date is around February 3rd for those vaccines to start to be distributed. The governor also said that they want schools and educators to really be a priority in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So hopefully by mid-February, educators that want to receive the vaccine will have been given it.
Well, let's touch base about the regular city council meeting that happened earlier this week. The first one of January of a brand new year. It means that we have some new council members that began their work this month.
We do. We have two new members. We have Jim Tom Trent and Jan Bishop, both who have been involved with local government in the past. So excited to have their knowledge on our council as well. It was our first in-person meeting in quite some time, which was very exciting. I always feel like it's good to be face-to-face when you can and when you can safely, especially when you have new people joining you. So it was a great meeting. We had it at the Carl Perkins Center. We were able to socially distance there, which was very important and the priority for our meeting. We know that people are used to having city council meetings at City Hall, but one thing that we have determined is that the city hall room is not large enough to social distance the way that we need to. So you'll see us over the next few months trying out some different locations, trying to see what fits best and what accommodates the public best as well.
I think one of the big issues, I logged on to try to see what was happening in the meeting and I wasn't able to hear. And, you know, I sent you a text message and said, we can't hear, because that's one of the things. I was like, she probably doesn't realize that it's not possible to hear. And I know that's one of the things that people did like about the virtual meetings that the city council was having. So many more people were able to attend virtually and listen and find out what was happening within the city.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Leanne, because one thing that I want to make sure that the public does understand is that this was an in-person meeting this month. So the city is not required to stream it, but we have found that more people can attend and tune in when it is streamed online. So the intent was for people to also be able to hear it online as well as attend in person if they chose to. Unfortunately, our technology failed us and we did test runs, but once we got up and running, it didn't work out. So we are working on that as well. But hopefully at our next site, which will be actually in ADUC of Morehead State University, we're going to try the technology there and see if it works a little bit better for us.
And I guess that's something that we need to talk about. We can just get right into the things that were discussed at the city council meeting. You will be having a budget work session coming up at ADUC. That's a lot different than the normal budget process that has happened in the past.
It is. So one thing that I've learned is that a city council typically enjoys and responds well to in-person workshops when we have the option to do so. I've had several since I started my term, just general workshops discussing overall projects of the city. This year, I've looked at what some other communities around the state do for their budgets. Typically, there have been budget committees that work three council members with the mayor on putting together a budget to propose to city council for the next fiscal year. But this year, I'm going to change that a little bit. This budget workshop will take place of that budget committee. And so all of city council can express what they would like to see reflected in the budget, as well as hear from all the department heads and really see the need that they have behind their request for the budget. So we're going to meet on the 27th of January and have our first workshop. And I expect that we will have another, if not more than one following this.
The city council was able to discuss a lot of the upcoming growth and development that's happening in the city. I've seen a whole lot of construction happening over the past week. First of all, somebody asked me the other day, what are they putting in by the interstate? And I was glad to be able to say Starbucks and let people know exactly what was happening. But where are they in that project? I've seen the walls go up, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything to a layman as far as what's happening with that particular project.
I am happy to report that that project is moving along and rather quickly. I know that their target date for opening is in April. They are in the interior design and planning stage, so they're looking at all of those final details for the inside of that building, which is really exciting. I think we've heard a lot of excitement about Starbucks coming to Morehead, so I think it'll be a big hit, and hopefully it'll be open in April.
And then also, I saw some trucks and some big equipment doing some digging right on Main Street to prep for the new police department and 911 center.
Yes, that is a project that I'm very, very excited to see get up and going. The city broke ground December 30th on that property, and the demolition phase is currently what is taking place. You will notice a lot of construction vehicles, equipment in the Main Street area. They've put a fence up as well to kind of contain the area around that. Over the next few weeks, they're going to be doing road cuts and sidewalk cuts. So if you are walking on foot or biking or anything in that area, please be aware of the construction that's going on. And with that, City Council actually passed a municipal order to temporarily close a portion of Daniels Avenue, which is the street that runs alongside that property, just so that it can accommodate the construction vehicles without causing a safety disturbance. So that street will have some closures in it over the next 12 to 15 months.
And I know that having the project downtown like that, it'll be neat to be able to see the progression on a daily basis for those of us who work in the downtown area. And speaking of downtown projects, the entertainment district has been in discussion for quite some time, closing Batenotes and letting that street become an open space for people to bring food in and hang out, especially in the warmer weather. I know some of us have braved the cold and met in that area since it did start getting colder. I actually met with some friends for a social distancing knitting group when there was snow on the table one day. tell us where we are in that project.
I'm happy to report that the ABC license for the entertainment district has been submitted to Frankfurt. So it is pending approval there. Once we receive word on that, it will really kind of take us to the final stages of the development of that area.
Is there any plan as far as keeping Batenotes closed? Well, the last time we talked, it was going to be closed through December, and here we are in January. I know the barriers are still up, but has City Council discussed that at all?
We did discuss that in December, and we extended the closure through March, and then we will look at probably in February, March, we'll extend that again. Ideally, in my mind, I think the best time, to utilize that area is kind of your April through October timeframe, which takes up the majority of your year. So we're working with some architectural designers as well as landscape architects to help us come up with an overall concept of not only that street, but the entire entertainment district so that we know what type of infrastructure, whether it's heating or public art or resources to put in that area to really develop it with a long-term vision.
And on that note, we do need to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide, but unify.
After a turbulent transition of power, Joe Biden now inherits many challenges in a divided nation. He's set to be inaugurated on the same stage where rioters overtook the Capitol. I'm Rachel Martin. Join NPR for special live coverage of the inauguration from NPR News.
Wednesday, January 20th at 11 a.m. on MSPR.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks again for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
We're talking about development projects in the city, and construction is ongoing in several. I had heard that Frontier Housing had proposed a new project. They're kind of getting into some stuff downtown, but I don't know the details about that.
Yes, we included information at City Council and within the packets to the council members that Frontier Housing has purchased a home on Lyons Avenue that they will be renting to the Oxford Recovery Home Organization. And so we know that people have raised concerns on both ends about the growing number of recovery homes here in the community. But with the information submitted, Oxford House also provided the city with documentation that state and federal guidelines supersede any local ordinances that there are. So that information is just always good for council to have at hand in case they get questions by constituents. We want everyone, including the public, to be as informed as possible.
I know that there was someone recently looking for one of those facilities on the street that I live on, and I was unaware if I am still unaware if there is one or not, but I did not know of one and wasn't able to help that individual find where they were looking for. So it is good to know if they are in your community, if nothing else, to help with directions. But I do know that sometimes people do have issue or take issue with those particular facilities being located maybe on their residential street. And that's something that you and I have talked about in the past, dealing with the recovery centers that are located within the community and education of our community members about rehabilitation, sober living facilities, those types of things is something that's really ongoing.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that we're seeing not only locally, but across the state and across the country. There's so many resources and efforts going into recovery. So educating the public is always a great tool when having that conversation.
Right. Now, the big development that nothing has really started officially yet, but the Madden Development Project, the proposed project that will be happening in what is now the mobile home park across from Kroger. There has been some discussion about that. I know that the community that is currently residing there has some confusion about what's happening and how things are going with that project. So let's update our listeners a little bit on what's happening with that one.
Absolutely. We've received calls at City Hall as well from residents or people wondering about the project. And so the first thing that we always do is refer people, if you do live there, to the landlord to answer any specific questions that you may have. The city's responsibility in the project was strictly a tax increment dedication, so to speak, to infrastructure over the next 30 years. So it is private property. The city has nothing to do with the sale of that property at all. In fact, I'm not sure that the sale has even been finalized yet. Once it is, that would be more of the timeline that we would look to see notification and information sent directly to residents, but also kind of any progression as far as projects starting or any new buildings, infrastructure that may take place in that area.
I know as someone who has purchased property, you kind of have to wait until the very last minute, until the ink has dried, so to speak, before you can really help plan or make plans in order to move forward, because things go wrong all the time with that sort of project. There was a discussion about annexation of property that I thought was already in city limits, but apparently not. So tell me a little bit about that, and was it passed by the city?
We did get a request on behalf of a developer to annex the property off of 32. It's where Valley View Lumber used to be, and they just closed recently. It's kind of the property right below the billboard. I think it's right around 40 acres, in fact. It has not been in city limits previously, but council did agree to have the city attorney work on documentation and any paperwork needed to proceed with annexation. So you'll see that coming up for a vote in the near future.
Now, with annexations, the city has to approve it. Does it also have to go on the ballot?
The information is sent to anyone who resides on the property to get their approval, though I don't believe there are any people actually living on this property where it was a commercial use previously. So it would not be on the ballot at this time.
Okay. And currently, is there any idea of what the developer wants to do with that property?
The developer has been in front of Planning Commission for some kind of initial discussions, and I believe we're going to see kind of a mixture of some different development, including commercial, retail, and possibly even residential.
Interesting. And I guess we'll get more details on that as it goes along, depending on what happens with the annexation. I know that sometimes these things take quite a bit of time in order to just get the paperwork completed before you can even start moving dirt, as we've seen with the police station. Now, the City Council also approved there's going to be some new lighting installed in Main Street.
We have about 5 street lights on the west end of Main Street that need replaced. They kind of run their course, so to speak. So we did approve a quote to replace some of those and put up some new lighting, as well as a quote for some new lighting on police vehicles that are due for updates.
It seems like we've been so focused in on the pandemic and all of the new things coming at us every day that sometimes those mundane, everyday business items seem like, oh, we didn't even think about that for the past year.
I can remember probably a year ago when we first started discussing COVID and what to do if and when it gets here. And I can remember Chief Anderson of the fire department saying, Laura, we just have to remember we can't get tunnel vision. We have to stay focused and make sure that all of our day-to-day jobs continue to be taken care of. And that's been one of the best pieces of advice anyone has given to me. And even though we talk so much about COVID, we still have a city to run and people to take care of. And so we remain focused on that as well.
The city public art project is going to be continuing over the summer months. We had the potted trees that the pots were painted in very festive colors, which are nice when everything around us is in the winter months and there's not a whole lot of color on Main Street. It is really lovely to see those. What is happening next in that project?
The next phase of public art that we're working on is the installation of murals downtown. And so we're hoping that the first mural will be installed in February, and we have two others that we're planning to hopefully get going in the next year as well, to really kind of bring something positive to look at and focus on downtown as well as a tourism mechanism.
Is the first mural going to be at Pasquale's?
It is. The plan for that mural is that it will be installed on the front of Pasquale's over kind of that green metal that's at the top of that building.
And do we know anything about the artist for that?
The artist, we are under contract with them. We actually met them through App Harvest. I believe their name is OSRS is the company name there. I actually met them at the opening or the unveiling of the container garden that they have put in at the high school. They were there actually painting it as we were there to tour that facility. And so I just went up and started a conversation, and we were able to continue that to bring them back to Moorhead for another project.
Wonderful. The connections we make when out in the community. It will be nice when we're all able to
Absolutely.
Go back into the community a little more. And hopefully that will happen soon. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor Laura White Brown of Moorhead, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.